Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Dirt Sheet, the only place you need to be going for pro wrestling news right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And be sure to hit that subscribe button. YouTube has probably unsubscribed you, among other things, which we're going to talk about
yes.
in a second. But we're also at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you can support the show, contribute to the show, and in return, we give you stuff and things.
Yeah.
Where else are we?
Patreon. Did you say, patreon.com/ Did you say that already?
Patreon. Yeah.
Sorry, I was going through our notes here. We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. You can get that design, four others, maybe a fifth.
Yeah.
By the time this episode goes up or this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, perhaps.
End of the month.
Yeah, exactly.
End of the year. We'll have five.
All good ways you can support us, Larson, because, ooh, boy. Ooh, times are lean, man. This YouTube revenue thing, times are lean. What are we going to do? Where are we going to get a job, Larson?
Well, I told you I was going to be a barista.
I know, but can we agree that I'm going to work at Target and you're going to be a barista in the Starbucks at that Target?
You can agree that we'll agree on that.
Yeah, that's good. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the YouTube thing because it's all over the place. We have a heavy presence on YouTube.
But also it seems to be in some circles affecting the wrestling landscape on YouTube as well. I mean, there's an article that went up today at wrestlingnews.co titled YouTube Kills Off Monetization for Wrestling Videos.
Yeah.
And this is predominantly about independent wrestling promotions putting up their shows, their matches on YouTube, using that money, you know, to generate some income for themselves.
So we're talking about this because we received some tweets from concerned viewers and listeners because they saw this tweet from AIWWrestling.com. It's the Twitter account for an independent wrestling promotion in Cleveland.
In Cleveland, yes.
In Cleveland, yeah. And they CC'd something called Beyond Wrestling. And the tweet says, YouTube categorized wrestling in the not advertiser-friendly / restricted mode category and killed off monetization. And then they continue, since we have lost our YouTube revenue stream, please head over to at Smart Mark Video and buy something. They essentially said in a Facebook post that they would have to sell hundreds more DVDs per month to make up their YouTube revenue. And so they're doing that. So if you guys want to go help out an independent wrestling promotion, go check out AIW Wrestling. There's a plug for you. However, we've been in the YouTube business for quite a while now.
Yeah, about 7 years.
And there's a couple different things that are happening.
There's a lot of things happening.
And some of them aren't related. But it's
hold on. We know of. It's hard to get answers about things.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Because YouTube doesn't tell us anything.
No, YouTube doesn't
tell us anything. They don't tell us
anything. Nothing.
And in fact, the very fact that we're talking about this, our good friends Ricky and Elliot over there at ETC, they get their shit demonetized all the time. And sometimes it seemingly, when they talk about YouTube, it happens. When they talk about politics, it happens.
Yeah. Funhouse, some other friends of ours, did a podcast about how YouTube has affected their bottom line.
The latest episode of Dude Soup,
yes.
Which I think is titled "Is Funhouse Going Broke?" No. That podcast perfectly breaks down what's happening in the YouTube community. I always hate the term YouTube community because I don't think there's a community. But for YouTubers who rely on income from YouTube, this is happening across the board. This transcends wrestling videos.
Yes.
So there's a couple things. First of all, there's the restricted mode thing.
Yes.
Okay. So if you get on your YouTube device, okay, or you get on YouTube and you go to the settings and you select restricted mode
if you turn it on, yes,
on my iOS device, on my iPhone, when I go to settings, it says restricted mode. I click on that and it says don't filter or strict. There is no in between.
I know.
So when you click on strict, which is restricted mode,
yes,
wrestling disappears.
It pretty much doesn't exist.
Like, what is there, one video on the WWE's
Well, yeah, a handful of WWE videos will show up on your search results. Their channel itself won't show up. If you search us under restricted mode, like our fast food reviews show up.
And then one episode of like Count Out shows up.
Yeah.
And so it's bizarre. That...
Well, it's based on what we've seen, and I think this news kind of came to light a while back, that wrestling as a whole is getting hit by restricted mode.
Right. However, here's the thing. That was not a problem. It really wasn't. YouTube has said in this Forbes article that Larson found, that we'll link to in the description, that according to YouTube, only 2%...
Well, no, this is according to YouTube's blog.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. There's two things that we should talk about. Restricted mode was introduced to YouTube in 2010.
Okay.
So it's been around for 7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, according to YouTube, about 1.5% of YouTube's daily views come from people who have restricted mode turned on. This is a direct quote from this YouTube blog.
I didn't even know about restricted mode before it came to light.
Mid-March.
Yeah, a little while ago. Didn't seem to affect our bottom line at all.
No.
Like, we're YouTube revenue heavy.
Yes.
We do, you know, we have the Patreon. Obviously, you guys know about that. Dude, that's fully public. You can see that. I won't tell you how much we make on YouTube, but we receive a substantial amount of our revenue from YouTube.
Yes.
And so the restricted mode, while odd and confusing, the bigger issue with the restricted mode has more to do with social issues. There's a whole wealth of information about how it's affecting LGBTQ. Is that how it's said? Okay. That type of content, content that apparently is heavy with like minorities, apparently. So gay stuff, like pretty much anything that isn't like straight white people. Apparently is a big problem for restricted mode. This is what bugs the shit of me for restricted mode, just as an aside, as a parent, okay? I let Alabama play with my phone. She gets on YouTube. There's something called YouTube Kids, which is a fantastic app for parents who just, look, I need a second, Alabama, okay? Just watch some YouTube Kids. And the content on there is great. I think it's actually personally curated by somebody there who's making sure that it's not crap content. Under restricted mode, there's a channel called Toy Freaks. That is maybe an example of some of the worst parenting I've ever seen in my life. It's terrible. This is from my opinion only. When I've watched this, when I've caught her watching this stuff, it's a bunch of kids who are like between 7 and 10 acting like little babies. It's weird. It's weird and it's creepy and I hate it. And that's on that's fine on restricted mode. So it's not even like I can put restricted mode on and show it to Alabama and be totally fine with it. You know what I mean? The YouTube Kids app, which why is there like, if this thing is mainly for like kids, if restricted mode is to like put in libraries and schools,
yeah.
Then I don't get it. The algorithm is messed up with restricted
mode. Yes, and I think that's the key, is that the algorithm is messed up for restricted mode. And YouTube has tried to address this. They've admitted there's problems in how things are filtered.
Yeah. I personally don't care about it. That didn't affect our bottom line. So that when AIW
that we know
tweets
of.
Out
that we know of didn't affect our bottom line that we know of.
Well, that's fine. I mean, if it's 1.5, I don't see how it could affect our bottom line. I mean, you're right that we know of because YouTube doesn't tell us anything.
Yes.
AIW Wrestling with their tweet seems to have a couple things that are like mashed up here. They say YouTube categorized wrestling in the not advertiser friendly / restricted mode category and killed off monetization. Now it's perfectly, they probably did do both these things, but they're not necessarily related that we know of.
That we know of. I mean, it's obvious based on our own searching and hearing anecdotally that pro wrestling as a whole is apparently covered under restricted mode. And if you have it on, you're not going to get a whole lot of pro wrestling if you search in restricted mode. The not advertiser friendly thing, in terms of that being a category for various genres, I don't know anything about that.
I think that they're confusing not advertiser friendly. Okay. So there's restricted mode, in my opinion, but we don't know. Hold on. That's not affecting our bottom line because we were doing totally fine before the big boycott happened.
Yes.
Now, what's happening to channels across the board? And this is where the Dude Soup podcast lays it out perfectly. The problem would seem to be, and again, we don't know because YouTube doesn't tell us, that, so there was this big Wall Street Journal thing. No, actually, it was the Post in England originally pointed out, did a story that essentially showed that certain terrorist YouTube videos on like that were being put up by like terrorist groups were being monetized. And so big name brands like McDonald's, Pepsi, et cetera, et cetera.
AT&T
were having ads being run. No, actually, in that case, it was the British government. That was the original story. The British government had ads running on terrorist group videos. And so that led the British government to say, hold on a second. Our ads are funding terrorism, essentially. So they pulled their shit. Catching wind of that, Pepsi, McDonald's, AT&T, a bunch of British international brands, obviously, yeah. But in England, were pulling their shit. The U.S. version of those big brands caught wind of it and started pulling them down. There was like an example of like some dude who was showing you how to stab like a vest that like MPs wear or something
like that.
And so essentially a big boycott happened where all these big brands pulled their shit because they said, Google, get your shit in order. Get your shit together.
Yeah.
That seemed to be when the problem was, because yes. That happened on, I think, like March 30th, 31st, something like that.
Towards the end of March, yeah.
And then April 1st.
Before that, March, before we left for WrestleMania, that's when we first noticed that there was a pretty significant dip in the monetization.
Right.
The thing is, and again, YouTube doesn't say much. There was kind of three things that happened in pretty quick succession. There was that period where videos were just kind of being randomly demonetized.
Yeah.
And you had to appeal it.
Yeah.
Then it was the restriction mode came to light. Then it was this. And by and large, most of the time, YouTube is not terribly transparent about what is going on.
Right.
And so I think there's, you know, a pretty decent amount of paranoia going around the YouTube space.
The crazy thing also is that, again, I'm pointing to the Dude Soup podcast. I believe Bruce was the one who said this. He said, you know, we've talked to YouTube. And they said, you know, what we suggest at this point is clean up your thumbnail, because some of their thumbnails can be a bit on the risque side because, you know, they're goofy. They're a comedy channel.
Yeah.
And so, but their point was, we're seeing. So here's the deal. Like, not to get too much into the technical bits of it. Our videos aren't being demonetized. What's happened? Because when you're demonetized, when you look at like the inside the guts of YouTube.
The analytics.
You go to your little video manager thing, it shows you all your videos, and there's like a little green money sign. Means you're monetized.
Yeah.
YouTube will go in and turn that green yellow if you're demonetized. That's what was happening to ETC.
Yes.
That's not happening to us. It's not happening to Funhouse, according to them. And what is happening, though, is there is another analytic called monetized playbacks. Those are the number of playbacks, the video views, that are actually running ads.
Yes.
That's where the money is.
Yeah.
And so we had our WrestleMania recap video. Wait, what's a good example? Because our WrestleMania recap did okay. The Raw after.
Yeah, it did horribly.
It had like, I think, 50,000 views. I think it's up to around 50,000 views. And I want to say after like around 30,000 views or so, the first 30,000 views had maybe 2,000 of those
monetized.
That were monetized, which is a really low number compared to what it usually is, which is around 50 to 60%.
Well, it varies.
Yeah, it varies. But it's usually in that window.
Yeah.
Okay. So Dude Soup points out one ridiculous example of a video that had like over 300,000 and like the second day, I think they said it like 14
monetized views
out of 300,000. That was on like the second day. The first day had like maybe a couple thousand, I think. Go listen to the podcast. It's really good.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the description.
Okay. And so that's what's happening. It feels like, again, we don't know because YouTube's not telling us, but we hear that there's a boycott, which would mean there's less ads to go around.
Yes.
Because some days, like they're in the minority at this point, but some days our revenue seems relatively normal.
It takes less of a hit than it does on other days. Like the
right, exactly.
our WrestleMania recap did pretty well.
Did okay the first day, but then after that, it fell. So it's like it's hovering around 100,000 views, which is really good for our podcast.
But still, the actual money we would make off that video is not in line with what it would have been a month ago or two months ago.
Exactly. And so what's happening, it just feels like there's not enough ads to go around.
Yeah.
Now, so that's basically what's happening.
Near as we can tell. This is kind of piecing together.
It's a fairly decent educated guess.
Piecing together the evidence that's out there.
Right. And so, but we have no idea like why certain days are better than other days. We have no idea, you know, I would think, and I hope this isn't me just being overly optimistic, but I would think that once Google is able to prove to these advertisers that, hey, we're not running your ads on terrorist videos anymore, and we're giving you a bit more control over things.
Yeah, they've instituted some new filters, some new tools for advertisers.
And on top of that, they instituted a new rule where you can't monetize your videos until you've had 10,000 views. That should, in theory, eliminate a lot of those fake channels, a lot of channels that are like posting art. You know, we've had it where somebody's posted going in raw to their own channel, and we had to have it taken down by our wonderful managers over at Studio 71. And so, yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, though, that's why we have the Patreon. That's why we have the Going In Raw Pro Wrestling Tee Shop. We've also been talking to our management company about bringing in, like, actual sponsors for the show. We'll get more into that once it actually happens a little bit down the line. But for us, I mean, that's great. That's going to keep us, you know, hopefully that's going to be...
That'll be enough to counter whatever losses we're experiencing on YouTube, yes.
Right, exactly. Like, we're fine right now. Like the ceiling hasn't come crashing down on us yet, and we understand that this is an entire YouTube wide thing.
Yes.
And we also understand that YouTube is losing, Google is losing a ton of money, because for every dollar we make, they make a dollar.
Yeah.
And so I would think that once a lot of this stuff, I mean, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Once they get their house in order, which I hope would be sooner than later.
Yeah.
Then the advertisers would be like, okay, well, this is good. I mean, that, you know,
they would feel comfortable returning knowing that these filters are in place, these tools are in place, that they can continue advertising through Google and not have to worry where their ads are being placed.
Right, exactly. So that's what's happening right now. We're totally fine for now. And like I said, we have some good people working behind the scenes in terms of lining up sponsors. So, you know, down the line, you might hear us read some stuff and sponsor some stuff. It's all going to be stuff that we're happy with and that we're comfortable, sponsoring,
absolutely,
or talking about. And so, you know, that's part of stabilizing our business is doing that.
Yeah.
Because YouTube is
very volatile.
It's exactly like I said, we've been doing this
for a long time.
I've been doing it since 2009. You've been doing it since a little bit earlier than that.
I mean, together since 2010.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And so we've seen a lot of things happen in YouTube. And, you know, when you take it as a whole, for how big a platform it is and how much money is going around, they're going to be growing. Now, it would be great if there was more transparency.
Oh, yes.
It would
be
fantastic if they had done this kind of thing before.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it
but like I said, I think it's just, you know, a lot of things happen in quick succession.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think there's a lot of content creators on YouTube that are a little bit on edge.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now, it totally makes sense. Yeah,
totally
makes sense. Especially now when the bottom line is being affected.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Substantially.
Yeah. So, that's what's happening with YouTube. And so if you hear people talking about YouTube and, you know, blah, 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 then you know what's going on. So, yeah. So in the latest episode or the latest issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, there's a fairly interesting and extensive bit of writing on Shibata and his latest match with Okada.
Yes.
And whether or not his subdermal hematoma.
Yes.
Was a work or a shoot. Was it real or was it fake?
And if it is real, how is his career jeopardized now?
Yeah, we still have no idea. Like, that's kind of the fascinating thing, is that Meltzer, like, with three sources in New Japan, was not able to determine whether or not it was real or not. They all said it really seems like it's real, but there's evidence to suggest that it's fake.
Yeah.
And which would, you know, seem to be to bring him back to an even bigger pop, but he kind of goes and places it within a larger context of why is he so stiff in the ring? Why is that okay? Because we've talked about Okada and what they've been putting him through over the past 3 months.
Yes. We touched on it in our New Japan recap.
And on one hand, it's like, wow, what great storytelling. On the other hand, it's, wow, this guy, he needs a career. He needs to have his career because he's really good.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's kind of like messed up.
He's taking years off his career by getting beat up.
And I posed the question to you, and I know you don't have an answer, but I feel like anybody can throw a real punch.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it certain wrestlers get the license to do that and others don't? Why is it it's okay for Shibata to work as stiff as he does and it's not okay for others to do that? Like, I get that his gimmick is MMA guy who doles out pain. I get that. But at a certain point, you also want to be protecting your guy. You're performing in the ring, you know?
It's not a real fight.
It's not a real fight. So why are you trying to make it look like it is? I mean, no, you should be trying to make it look like it is. Why are you doing it? Go to do MMA. You know what I mean?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, in that respect, it's funny because we give praise to New Japan for a lot of things, but some of it is, wow, these guys go crazy in the ring.
Yeah, they put themselves through a lot to put on a good show.
They really do. And we honestly, like, I feel like we praise the storytelling over the high spots, because spots are difficult to watch.
Yes.
And on one hand, it's easy to say, holy crap, look what he just did. But at the same time, it's with the understanding that, hey, they're built like we're built, you know, like they're human beings. I mean,
yes.
And we've seen people mess themselves up in the WWE. It's no different in New Japan. People get injured there.
Yes.
But
getting back to the Meltzer report about whether it's real or not, the injury that is, there was a quote from a doctor that treated him or something saying there was, hold on, let me pull up the quote.
A 50% chance whether he's going to come back.
Yeah, that. But it was something. Shibata's doctor said there, quote, there is no medical evidence, I assume, of the hematoma, but it said that it can easily reoccur. If he still wants to be a professional wrestler in the future, strict examinations will be necessary. I am not optimistic at all. And then, going on to say, Shibata's injuries are worse than anyone first thought. There's like a 50% chance that we've seen his last match.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because that statement there sounds like they're trying to straddle the line between real and fake.
Yeah.
It's like if somebody says 50%, like 50% right there sounds like, wait, are they just messing with us? Which would lead me to think that it's fake.
Mm-hmm. But it'd be interesting to watch the end of that match again, knowing potentially.
Okay, let me ask you this.
He suffered an injury and seeing if his reaction is the thing. Because like when he left the ring, you know, he wanted to get up and leave on his own power, but he had a hard time getting out.
I didn't even notice that.
Okay. Yeah. 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 But I don't know. At the time watching it, I didn't know that he might have suffered bleeding on the brain.
Yeah.
So I just thought, oh, wow, that's a really good sell. He's really selling this well.
You said something like, because you heard my beef with the match and that it was,
I felt that
it ended too abruptly. It didn't have enough of a build. Didn't you say something like you read on Twitter or who was it that said, I thought somebody said, you know, yeah, he got injured. That's why they.
I think there was speculation that maybe that was the case.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think there's any definitive news on that, though.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. He could be done. He could not be done. We have no idea. I mean, we're both big Shibata fans.
Yeah.
But that being said, I do watch his, this really illustrated me. I'm like, you know what?
This might be too stiff.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with a certain level of stiffness, but at the same time, it's like, dude, anybody can kick somebody in the face for reals.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in there.
Yeah.
It takes a special quality to make it look like it hurts, but then you don't really do it.
I know.
You know, I mean, that's one thing I will always remember that has been said about Randy Orton, and I always appreciate about Randy Orton.
Safe worker.
That everybody says he's a really safe worker. He protects his guy.
Yeah.
And I think that it's probably more difficult to make it look real and protect your guy than to simply make it real.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think there's probably some truth to that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Shibata, I hope you're good.
Yes.
Maybe tone it down a little bit. That's some Steam advice for you. Let's answer some questions. Yeah. Gassy Freddy Blassie says, first time patron here with a question. If you had to put together an Ocean's 11 type heist team using WWE wrestlers, who would you choose and why?
Ocean's 11, so we need 11 of them.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go with...
who'd be the ringleader, the Clooney Sinatra type character?
I would think that... I would say that'd be Seth Rollins.
Okay.
The architect.
Yep.
There you go.
The number two, the Dean Martin Brad Pitt.
Um,
D Dean Ambrose?
Yeah, I would say Ambrose. I'm going to say a bit of a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Not quite keeping everything together, but people respect him.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want to go with Xavier Woods.
Yes, I was going to mention
smartest
his name
guy
as well.
In any room he probably walks into.
Yes, exactly.
Enzo. Oh, that's a good one. I like that a lot.
So that's four. We need seven more.
That's four.
We need some muscle.
Well, let's take Big E and Braun Strowman.
Okay.
Okay, those guys there.
That's six.
Uh-huh. Oh, who wouldn't want Kevin Owens on your team?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You want Kevin Owens on your team.
Rusev and Lana.
Okay, that's good. I like it. We're up to nine.
Two more.
We need Dos Mas. I'm going to go with... Oh, who wouldn't want the Revival on your team?
Oh, there you go. Top guys.
Top guys.
Top exactly. guys.
Perfect. Thanks for the question.
Good question. I'm going to pull one here from the Patreon. Chris okay. Prestel. Do you think they are shelving Roman to have him lose some of the massive heat he has and also make a surprise return at Payback and interfere in a Strowman match? Maybe they're expecting some sort of pop for returning Roman to give Braun some payback. Roman is not going to be gone that long. They'll have a match at Payback, he and Strowman.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I did think about that. Maybe they wrote him off TV for a bit to try to let the heat die down. It's not going to work if that's their plan.
That's not going
to
work, man.
Not
people
work.
Are just going to be ready. It's Pavlovian at this point.
It is.
It's Pavlovian.
It's either that, they wrote him off for that, or they're going to have him off a week, if that, and have him come back, you know, as super heroic as ever.
I feel like if...
And, like, literally throw that ambulance at Braun Strowman.
I feel like there's no way they can bring him back this week. There's no way.
I would like to think so, but...
I know, right? I would like to think so, too. I just don't know if they're going to keep him off for a week. I mean, geez. My thing is this. The beatdown was so cartoonish.
Yeah, it was great.
It was so cartoonish, you would think that it would have to be at least he's gone this week. Or this coming week.
Yeah.
He'd have to be.
One would hope.
This wasn't a regular beatdown. They made this so long and extended and cartoonish.
And hilarious at times.
And hilarious. The entire thing was hilarious. It was great.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. Let's see here. What is this? Jimmy, stop milling about or I'll crown you king. When Steve and Larson have a wrestling-related disagreement, do you guys tend to agree? Who do you go? Oh, this is actually for you guys in the comments. Friendos. Who do you guys tend to agree with more often when me and him have an argument?
Oh.
He says, for him, it's Larson. No offense, Steve. I absolutely love this show.
Do you take offense to that?
Yeah, man.
The Ghost of Ulysses. This question doesn't have to do with SmackDown, but I was wondering, why did The Undertaker change his gimmick to the American Badass, and how did he change it back to the Phenom? He wasn't watching wrestling at the time, so I don't know the story behind it. I don't remember why he changed.
He died.
Yeah, he did, and
he
came
died.
Back as American Badass.
Kane killed him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Kane killed him. Then he came back as American Badass, died again.
And then came back as a Phenom again.
Evidence. See, look, W. Steve W. Steal from the best. I'm telling you. But I'm not bringing Ulysses back.
Maybe he'll come back some other way. Kyler Moser. Will the U.S. title be the top title on SmackDown? And if the plan is for Roman to beat Brock at WrestleMania, it's going to be for the Universal title, right? So Brock's going to hold it for a whole year. How many times do you think it'll be defended over the next year? And who else would take on the Beast Incarnate?
Six times.
Six times the next year?
Yeah.
Name the shows.
Okay, well, we know SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Rumble.
Yes. Hell in a Cell?
Hell in a Cell. Two undecided.
Maybe Clash of Champions?
Maybe one on Raw.
Probably Clash of Champions.
Yeah, probably Clash of Champions.
Who is he going to face, though?
Shit, that's a good question. I would say he's going to face...
Well, Braun. They kind of set that up already.
He's going to face Braun. He'll face Seth. He'll face... He's not going to face Dean again.
No. I hope he doesn't face Samoa Joe unless Samoa Joe's going to beat him.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Yeah, I don't know. God, a year is a long time.
It really is. I'm thinking he'll defend it five times.
Oh, wow. That little... Yeah. Maybe Triple H. You know, hey, you know it's a possibility.
I know.
You know it's a good possibility.
I mean, Triple H will lose, I would think.
Yeah.
He's already got his win over Brock.
Yeah.
Don't know if he needs another one. The Four Horsemen. Since neither AJ nor the club moved during the shakeup, what do you think are the odds of seeing the club reunion take shape in the form of Gallows, Anderson, and Balor? anytime soon?
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. Zero.
Geo Sky. Steven Larson, you guys are part of WWE scouting team to find the next football wrestler. Who would you pick, and what type of gimmick would you give him? As for me,
Gronk.
I would pick, this is Geo Sky, I would pick Peyton Manning, since most likely he will run the whole system. Thanks, friendos. Yeah, Gronk. It's
going to
be Gronk.
Absolutely, Gronk.
And he'll just be Gronk.
Great.
He doesn't need an angle. He's just Gronk.
He's Gronk. That guy at Bagman89. The whole YouTube unsub thing, does that not affect Red users? Because I haven't unsubbed from anyone. I have not heard one way or the other.
That's a good question.
I don't know. I don't know.
I have no idea. Shibata's punching bag. Ooh, bag. Sorry. Punching bag. Badman Joseph. Hey, friendo. So with Aleister Black, who do you think he will end up feuding with? I mean, Andrade didn't seem to care that he lost as he wasn't on this week's NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that in our NXT recap, speculating on who it could be. And I think, well, we said at some point, Eric Young, he'll probably feud with.
It'd be really awesome if it was.
But I don't think that's going to happen right away.
Yeah, me neither.
Maybe later in the year.
Who do you think it'd be right away? Who are we going to see him again? Well, have we looked at spoilers? You look at spoilers? He was going to fight next?
You know it'd be interesting?
Who?
Roderick Strong.
Oh, that'd be good. Really interesting. Both
good ring workers.
Yeah.
Clash of personalities.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
Strikers.
Yes.
Would you consider Roderick Strong a striker?
Probably not at all.
He's a
wrestler.
He's a wrestler.
He's a professional wrestler.
Yeah, that'd be a good matchup, though.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
I like this one. We have Matt Chambers at King of All Mats. So he apparently is King Matt. He says, I'm a big fan of your show. I'm a truck driver, and you guys keep me away on my long drives.
Awake, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, awake. There you go. He says, I have a question. I'm thinking of starting a wrestling podcast. Do you have advice or tips? I'm not a computer whiz, and I just really love wrestling.
Invest in a decent microphone. Don't spend a bunch. Blue Snowball.
Pretty sure Blue Snowball you can get for like $86.
Yeah, it's $100 or less.
I don't know why it's specifically $86, but I'm pretty sure it's $86.
Yes.
So, yes, do that.
Assuming you're just sticking to audio.
Or do this. Hey, you know what you could do? I don't know necessarily if you just want to talk about wrestling and start a podcast, get a mic that you can plug. Assuming you have an iPhone, get a mic you can plug into your iPhone. There, I believe, are audio apps you can get for relatively cheap.
Yes.
Record your podcast there. And I'm sure there are apps where you can upload your podcast. I don't know if Podbean will let you upload one or SoundCloud. Maybe SoundCloud will let you upload it. I mean, if you're not, I'm trying to think, if you're not a computer whiz, like you need to get something that you can upload your podcast to.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So there's that.
Yes. Western States Heritage Champion Matthew E. Williams Esquire. Hey, Steve Larson. Faction warfare is New Japan's thing, and three-man teams seem to be WWE's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think each of them shaking up by borrowing a bit from each other for a while would be a good thing? Also, Larson, tell Top Notch the Empire is coming for you. I mean, New Japan has Taguchi Japan. Mm-hmm. They have, what, three members?
Maybe four with Juice.
Or five if
or five.
If Nakanishi is still
a
member.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a real faction, though.
What was the question?
This is WWE relies on three-man
teams,
whereas New Japan relies on large factions.
That's true.
Could they mix it up, essentially? Could New Japan borrow the idea of more three-man, smaller factions from WWE and vice versa?
Yeah, I think that's more likely than the vice versa. I don't see a lot of WWE doing big factions. I mean, they do like, what, one at a time? We have the Wyatt family. They're broken up. We have Sanity now on NXT. Don't really see that a lot.
No.
Which is kind of surprising because they have like a lot of people on their roster.
I know. They really do.
Glorious George says, the Shining Stars. What would you feel about Cien Almas coming in and joining them instead of Carlito? Not huge on it. Not huge on it. But look, we've said this about the Shining Stars. We like them. We just feel like they've been saddled with crap gimmick after crap gimmick.
Someone said in one of the comments to our videos that at no point do they refer to them as the Shining Stars on SmackDown. They just call them Primo and Epico.
Oh, is that a fact?
So maybe they're ditching the Shining Stars gimmick entirely.
They're just guys with jeans.
So if that's the case, have Almas come in. That could work.
I like it.
I mean, he is one of the founders of Los Ingobernables.
I know.
So I know. He knows how to run a faction.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Who? Let me ask this, and then we'll get to video questions. San Almas, Shining Stars, who would you want two more members in Los Ingobernables de WWE?
De SmackDown Live?
Yeah, de SmackDown Live, yeah. Two more members.
That's
Baron,
a good question.
Baron Corbin's a lone wolf.
Yeah, that's the first name that popped in my head, but that's like, no, nah, he's a lone wolf.
He's a lone wolf.
He's a lone wolf.
Exactly. Ooh, I'll say this. A heel No Way Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm trying to think someone on the SmackDown roster.
Yeah, I know, me too. Nope, nope.
But it's gotta be a mid card.
There's like no mid card there. Who do we say the mid card is? Dolph.
Oh,
how about this? Mojo Rawley. That'd be great. We got some video questions. First up, one from Adam Mayhem. Let's see what Adam has to say.
Hey, friendos. Adam Mayhem here. All right. So, question. Everybody's always thinking about Sasha turning on Bayley, so we have the same, you know, the same thing we had at NXT with Sasha being a heel and Bayley being the babyface. Now, I was thinking, why don't we just do the opposite? You know, maybe Bayley loses the belt. And at that point, she kind of just goes insane because all she wanted was the belt. And she can have like this, not heel gimmick, but more like a psycho, like a psycho type of person. Like I always say, like a high school nerd girl that loses her virginity to like a jock and then never gets called back. So she just turns this like extremely psycho, and like she just wants that belt because that's what she's wanted her whole life. What do you guys think about that instead of just the regular Sasha heel versus Bayley phase that we already seen? All right, friendos, take it easy. Watch Too Sweet.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem.
Bayley heel turn. Don't like it.
It's not going to happen.
Too much money to be made with her, man.
Yes.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. I know we've seen Sasha, heel Sasha versus Bayley before. The reason we're going to see it again is because it's great.
Yeah. There are too many others that can pull off heel. I don't know if anybody wants to see a heel Bayley. Not a psycho one either. It's no good. But keep trying, Adam Mayhem.
Yeah.
We both love you. Patrick Sparks is up next.
Hey, friendos. Pat here. So, over Monday and Tuesday, the Superstar Shakeup happened, and it was pretty good, in my opinion. I'm glad with the choices. I would have done a couple more. I would have canceled a few, but with that being said, let's swap over to a parallel universe. In one where the brand connection, the loyalty, the friendliness, and all the good things in between that, between New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor has been axed off. Killed, done, it's over. That being said, who would you like to see switch promotions? Send 5 people from New Japan over to Ring of Honor, and send 5 people from Ring of Honor over to New Japan, and there will no longer ever be any more cross-promotional things, ever. So take that into consideration. Thanks, friendos. Bye.
Thank you, Patrick. So, a Ring of Honor New Japan shakeup.
Okay.
Send 5 New Japan wrestlers
okay.
to Ring of Honor.
Okay.
5 Ring of Honor wrestlers to New Japan. And then they won't have co-produced shows anymore.
Oh.
Done.
Goodness. Okay.
Partnership over.
Send Adam Cole to New Japan.
Adam Cole and the Young Bucks.
Adam Cole and the Young Bucks to New Japan.
So, Bullet Club is all...
All there.
All in New Japan.
Exactly.
So that's three. Ring of Honor.
Yeah, from Ring of Honor. Silas Young to New Japan.
Okay.
Yeah. You give me one more.
I was going to say Jay White, but I think he's in Ring of Honor from New Japan.
Marty Scurll. No Marty Scurll?
No.
No Marty Scurll.
And I was going to say Bobby Fish, but he's, I think he's kind of more on a freelance deal now. Dalton Castle.
Ooh, I like that. That's good. Dalton Castle. Okay, now we got
to
send
five from New Japan to Ring of Honor.
Juice Robinson. Here's the thing. I don't really watch Ring of Honor on a regular basis. So I'll send Juice over there because I don't want to see him on a regular basis. So Juice Robinson.
Okay.
I think he'd fit in good at Ring of Honor anyways. Juice Robinson.
Okay.
Loose Explosion.
Oh.
I'm just shipping people over there I don't like.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to do.
I just put that together.
Loose Explosion. Okay. Who else don't I like? You know, I'm actually not a huge fan of Taguchi.
He's funny.
Yeah, he's okay, but you already have Yano.
Yeah,
one comedy act's good enough. Taguchi goes to Ring of Honor.
I don't agree with that, but okay.
I do. I don't hear you chiming in
here,
man.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
We've had a long day. I am tired.
Can we send
Chase Owens? Chase Owens.
No, I have a better one.
What?
I don't like that there's the Tokyo Pimp and the Ticking Time Bomb, and they got the same last name. So send the Tokyo Pimp over to Ring of Honor because he's the lesser of the two. He doesn't need to be in Bullet Club. He's his own Tokyo Pimp guy.
I still don't understand why on his vest it's Tokyo Pimps.
Yeah, I know.
Are there multiple?
I think I saw Bad Luck Fale wearing that shirt before. And like when we first started watching.
What about Fale going to Ring of Honor?
Yeah. He's kind of looks sloppy. He needs fresh gear, man. His shit looks faded, right?
Yeah, he does need
like,
new,
hey, look,
new ring
faded
gear.
Faded shirt, not faded shirt.
Yeah.
That's what it's like, Fale and then Chase Owens.
Okay. Okay.
There you go. Those are good answers.
Those are good answers.
Who doesn't like that trade?
Next from CJ Reebley.
Hey, friendo, CJ here. So after listening to the most recent Ravens Effect podcast, he brought up the idea that if a movie was to be based on him, like a Hallmark kind of thing, he would want the Raven character to be portrayed by a female. Kristen Stewart specifically, which threw me off because she's awful. Anyway, I was kind of thinking about it, and it's interesting. This leads me to my question. If you could take a WWE character, gimmick, whatever, and put a female in that role, a male character, and turn it female, essentially, what do you think would actually work really well? This is just me. I think there would be interesting if maybe Beth Phoenix took on the Ultimate Warrior persona, and I say that because in 2K17, a while back, I did kind of that. I made a female Ultimate Warrior who looks like Charlize Theron if she was on the Jinder Mahal workout. Anyway, let me know your thoughts. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank you.
This is an interesting question.
Yeah. I would take the Drifter's gimmick and give it to Bailey, and she would just be wandering around the arena. That'd be great. Who would want to see that? You go now.
What if you took Aleister Black's gimmick and gave it to Becky Lynch?
Oh, no, I actually like that. That's actually really
good.
Good.
I know. That's really,
really
good.
Ooh, I want to see that now.
See, that's a good answer.
That'd be sexy. Aleister Black is so sexy, Larson. Can I say sexy now on YouTube?
I don't know.
Are you going to be able to bleep out? You actually listened to this before you put it up, right?
Yeah.
You going to be able to cut out my F words?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, good. I want to see if that helps. Hidden Paperface has a question. Let's see what Hidden Paperface has to say.
Hey, guys. So I'm going to be going to my very first NXT live event this Saturday the 15th at the Cabarrus Arena in North Carolina, and I will be passing out botched two sweets left and right to any other friendos that happen to be there. I will be wearing these shades in case any of you want to come find me. And so my main question is, this is going to be my first NXT live event, but I have been to other Raw and SmackDown events through the years. So what's the big differences between the Raw live events and SmackDown live events and the NXT events? I know the main one's probably going to be that they're just a lot of smaller venues and a lot of smaller crowds. But other than that, what are some key differences? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I like his gimmick. Let's see here.
Major difference between Raw or SmackDown house shows versus an NXT house show. I think the premise of house shows in WWE are all generally the same. They kind of work on matches that they're going to do at pay-per-views, by and large.
Yeah.
And I think generally a house show experience is a looser experience in that the wrestlers tend to have more fun. They're not confined by character, per se. They let the guards down a bit more.
Here's one thing. Part of the half of the NXT house shows are people you will not see on TV for a little while.
Yeah, those are just in Florida, though.
Okay, so the Florida one. So they emphasize the developmental aspect of NXT.
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay, so that's a lot of fun. Jordan Carter has a question. It's our last question. Let's see what Jordan Carter has to say.
Hey, friendos. So I was just able to watch Sakura Genesis, and my question for you this week is, who's going to lose their championship belt first, Okada or Naito? And to who? Thanks, friendos.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
This is a tough one.
Well, we know Naito's not going to lose that title to Juice Robinson.
Well, we don't know it.
Oh, we know it. I will stop watching New Japan if that's the case.
No, you won't.
I will.
No, you won't.
I will.
No, you won't.
We're not getting any YouTube revenue anyways, man. We're broke.
It's not true. We're not broke.
Oh, man.
Who is going to lose their title first? I'm going to say Okada. That maybe part of the storyline they're working with him right now is that he's taking so much punishment the first half of this year that by the time Dominion comes around, he just literally can't put up his usual effort and loses the belt. He takes some time off, comes back for the G1, wins it, challenges the champion, maybe Kenny Omega, for the title. At Wrestle Kingdom, they have the rematch. Okada goes over, Omega goes WWE. That's the storyline.
I'm going to say this. I like that. I think it's all good. Do it. You know how when Okada seems to be more and more, what's the word I'm looking for? Exacerbated. Every time he steps in the ring, this time with Shibata, and he does that whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he reaches a breaking point where he just gets in the ring against, who's another hard-hitting guy? Ishii.
Yeah.
Ishii gets a title shot after Bad Luck Fale.
Yeah.
He gets in there and goes, walks off.
Oh, just drops the belt and leaves.
Just drops the belt and leaves. Knowing full well that he just wants to take some time off. He can come back and get it whenever he wants. Doesn't care.
But you know what? If he just got out of the ring and left, he'd be counted out. He'd still be champ.
Is that a thing in Japan too? You get counted out?
Yeah, they have a 20 count.
He just gives it to him.
Okay, well, why don't you just lay down and take a pin?
Well, he's not going to get pinned. He says, here, I'm not going to lay down for you, but it's yours. He vacates it.
Well, then they probably have some sort of tournament to fill
He vacates it to Ishii.
Okay. He just gives it to him then, yes. Yeah. Gifts it to him.
Gifts it to him, exactly. Okay. He PayPals him the championship.
Okay.
Can you do that? Can you PayPal items?
I don't think you can PayPal things.
No? How does he legally sign it over to him?
Let me ask you this, though.
Okay.
Who on the roster in New Japan do you see taking that Intercontinental title off Naito?
Not Juice Robinson.
Well, give me a name that could.
Chase Owens. Ricochet wants the junior heavyweight title.
Yes.
I wonder if they'd... I have no idea... Do we even know yet if weight limits are a thing? Could Kushida move up to Intercontinental Championship?
I think he would, at least kayfabe-wise, have to put weight on. Although, I guess Kenny bumped up from juniors to...
He bumped up from junior.
So maybe not.
So, I don't know. Maybe you just have to declare yourself... I know he's like the ace of the junior heavyweight division.
Maybe you just have to declare yourself a heavyweight and then you're bumped up. I don't know.
Let me think.
Because I think the only real serious contenders I can think of are all in LIJ. Sonata or Evil.
I doubt they would do it concurrently with Kenny Omega, but Cody.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Cody.
He shows up so infrequently, though.
No, I know, but if he... That might come to an end, though. He might start doing
Japan. What if after his Ring of Honor contract is up?
Adam Cole, baby?
Yep.
Possibly. Maybe.
Or they bring in someone like Matt Riddle or Jeff Cobb or something.
Well, Suzuki.
They haven't had him win any matches, though. I would love to see it, because Suzuki's great, but he hasn't won anything.
Who did they fight? Who'd they fight at the last show?
It was Chaos, wasn't it? Wasn't it Loose Explosion and a couple other people?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, so that was Chaos. So they don't really have
And beef. I think Loose Explosion pinned Suzuki.
Loose Explosion is going to win the... he's going to win the IC title. Big push for Loose Explosion. That's terrible.
But really, if like, excuse me, if Evil or Sonata somehow left LIJ, I could see either of them winning it.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Someone else, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Takahashi, too, if he went to jump up to heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
Taguchi, that's the answer.
No. I'm not, I don't dislike him. I just don't like him enough not to send him to Ring of Honor.
Okay.
I don't dislike him enough that if I never saw him again, I'd be totally fine.
Okay.
And then watch, Taguchi takes the Ring of Honor title from Christopher Daniels using his funky weapon, mm-hmm. his butt maneuver.
Hip attack.
Back. Yano picks up the IC title off of Naito with a friggin' low blow.
Ishii could.
Yeah, Ishii. He could.
Ishii Naito would be good, a good feud.
Yeah, it'd be a good feud.
That'd be really good.
Yeah, Yano helps him out with low blow.
Could be.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Yes.
Anyways, that's it for Dirt Cheap.
Yes.
We'll be fine. We're not going to join the unemployment line just yet, Larson.
Not yet, no.
All right. Let us know what you thought about today's episode in the comments. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.